Can you give me all of you? This is Lee Hazelwood.
And Nancy Sinatra.
You know, some velvet morning when I'm straight, I'm gonna turn on
WGXC Macra Hudson Catskill.
Hey, cowboy, where'd you get that funny hat?
90.7 FM.
Brooklyn Vegan runs down the lineup for the 2023 edition of 24-Hour Drone, set for May 27th through 28th at Basilica Hudson in Hudson. The annual event has been on hold in person since 2019 because of the COVID-19 pandemic. This year, the show is back in person with Yuka C. Honda of Saibo Matto, Wolf Eyes, Liturgy, Sarah Hines, Laura Ortman, and others performing at the event, which each year is webcast at WGXC.org and broadcast on 90.7 FM. The Basilica Hudson website has all the details about the 24-hour drone show May 27th and 28th at Basilica Hudson and will air on WGXC.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years. Offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Michael Alterman of Cairo, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Georgia, I'm 12, and I'm from beyond.
I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Fatia. I'm 9 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love.
Books we hate.
And bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today. Whoopee!
And we're often joined by our friends Claire and Amelia, but they couldn't be here today. So we'll have to wait to hear from them about what they've been reading. Live in suspense until then. But no more suspense for us.
Yes.
What have you been reading or writing, Georgia?
I have been writing a lot of haikus lately. It's National Poetry Month, if you guys didn't know, since it's April, which is the best. And I've been writing a lot of haikus lately. There's one, I don't know if I can remember it, but I'm going to try. Soft, sweet sugar plums, fairy tales are a lie, pretty princesses die. It's a bit dark.
What happened?
Bum bum bum.
Very cool. So that's what you've been writing. What have you been reading?
I've been reading a lot. I read 4 novels cover to cover, full length, in a week. And I've read a lot. I read Front Desk, I read Three Keys, I read A Good Kind of Trouble, which is what I'm going to be sharing today, and I read Daisy Woodward Changes the World.
Ooh, it's a lot of books. My niece just finished Front Desk and loved it.
It's very good. And my English teacher, again, shout out to her if she's listening, which she isn't. Thank goodness. That would be embarrassing. A tiny bit. But anyways, I think she ordered the next books in the Front Desk series, which I'm excited to read. And nice. Today I started the sequel to Out of My Mind, which we read in class, which was amazing. And the sequel's called Out of My Heart, and it's where Melody goes to camp. So yeah, I just got to the part where she just got to camp.
What's the first one about?
Melody has cerebral palsy, and she is sort of confined, and she can't talk, but then she gets this machine called a MediTalker that changes her life, because she can type whatever she wants into it, and it'll talk for her. And then she starts her class, and her class for special needs, and the other fifth grade class start getting integrated, and her adventures start happening when that happens. So it's so good. They're amazing. So yeah, definitely would recommend.
Yeah, I haven't read that one. I'll have to check it out.
You haven't?
No, I read.
It's so good.
What is the title again?
Out of My Mind.
Oh, no, and I have read that. Sorry. I have read that. I haven't read the sequel.
The sequel is Out of My Heart.
Cool. Yeah, I liked the first one. Sorry. I was thinking you were talking about a different book for a second. Was there another book you wanted to talk about?
Oh, yes. The book I was going to talk about today is called The Good Kind of Trouble. It's by Lisa Moore Ramey, and it's super good. And I think it's a really, really good book. It's very powerful. And I haven't read yet The Hate U Give, but I want to at some point soon. But apparently it's sort of a bit like it. So it's really amazing. I'll read the description. 12-year-old Shayla is allergic to trouble. All she wants to do is follow the rules. Oh, and she wants to make it through seventh grade with her best friendships intact, learn to run track, and have a cute boy see past her giant forehead. Not about the giant forehead, but about cute boys.
Yeah.
But in junior high, it's like all the rules have changed. Now she's suddenly questioning who her best friends are, and some people at school are saying she's not black enough. Wait, what? Shay's sister Hannah is involved in Black Lives Matter, but Shay doesn't think that's for her. After experiencing a powerful protest, though, Shay decides some rules are worth breaking. She starts wearing an armband to school in support of the Black Lives Movement. Soon, everyone is taking sides, and she is given an ultimatum. Shay is scared to do the wrong thing, and even more scared to do the right thing. But if she doesn't face her fear, she'll be forever trippy over the next hurdle. Now that's trouble, for real. And so that was The Good Kind of Trouble by Lisa Moore Ramey.
Did you finish that one yet? Or are you still working on it?
Oh, I finished it like 5 days ago. It was so good. I was very sad for it to be over. It's a great book.
Mm, that's the best. I mean, it's the worst and the best.
Yeah. The age recommendation is 9 to 12. I'd personally say the same. But honestly, I think people over the age of 12 could also appreciate it.
Yeah, as long as they're not closed off to reading books for young people.
Yeah.
Some people won't read books for kids. Not me. I'll read it all.
You mostly read kid books.
I do a mix, but I definitely read, you're talking quantity of books, yes, definitely, because I read a lot of picture books, and you can read 50 of those in the time it would take to read a novel, maybe more. But
yeah, that's
true. I would say in terms of like word count, I probably read more adult or young adult. But great. Thank you for sharing. Fatia, what did you want to share today?
I wanted to share a book that I said last week. It was like chapter one. And now I want to say like the next chapter.
The continuing saga. Sounds good.
Chapter two, The Battle of the Heroes. They were still on a big adventure, so they all climbed up mountains and flew over vast rivers until they found a machine that said, "Do not touch, only for Joker." while Batman, Supergirl, Spider-Man, Superman, and Wonder Woman. So they made a plan to get more superheroes, but it was hard. But they still tried. And one day they got a note saying, "Hi, my name is Hawk. I live in the volcanoes." They were looking for the Hawk. Finally, they found him. It was hard work trying to find him. They fought the Hawk and made him join his side. Then they thought they had enough people to join their superhero team. So they all traveled to the one who was sending all of this trouble. When they were looking for that person, they found a mysterious ass that looked like something they had seen before. So they went in and found Joker inside, the one who was making all the troubles. They tried their best to fight the Joker, but it didn't work out so well. All of them were defeated and put in a dungeon. They were stuck in there for a while until they remembered that they had pets. So they called their pets to get them out of the dungeon. When the Joker went outside for potions, the superheroes' pets helped them escape, and Joker's house was gone forever. When Joker returned, he was speechless and made them fight each other, so they were at war. And so were the pets too. Their minds were being controlled. Batman fought it and saved the others together. They all fought Joker. These heroes will fight the world to get their friends back. Will they make it?
Ooh, a little cliffhanger. I like it. The suspense. That feels like a classic episode or a comic. Will they make it? I'm curious what the pets are.
That's for chapter 3, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm curious to hear about that when the time comes. And I think you said last week that this is a graphic novel you're working on. Or did I imagine that incorrectly? Or remember that incorrectly?
It is a graphic novel. It is.
Very cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. I have a book to share, and then I thought I would share a poem as well, since it's National Poetry Month, as Georgia said earlier, and it's also coming up on Earth Day. I thought I would read a poem that speaks to the themes of Earth Day. And so this poem is called Speaking Tree, and it's by Joy Harjo. And it starts with a quote, "I had a beautiful dream. I was dancing with a tree." And that's a quote from Sandra Cisneros. "Some things on this earth are unspeakable. Genealogy of the broken, a shy wind threading leaves after a massacre, or the smell of coffee and no one there. Some humans say trees are not sentient beings, but they do not understand poetry, nor can they hear the singing of trees when they are fed by wind or water music, or hear their cries of anguish when they are broken and bereft. Now I am a woman longing to be a tree planted in a moist, dark earth between sunrise and sunset. I cannot walk through all realms. I carry a yearning I cannot bear alone in the dark. What shall I do with all this heartache? The deepest rooted dream of a tree is to walk, even just a little ways, from the place next to the doorway to the edge of the river of life and drink. I have heard trees talking long after the sun has gone down. Imagine what it would be like to dance close together in this land of water and knowledge, to drink deep what is undrinkable." That is Speaking Tree by Joy Harjo, and it's from Conflict Resolution for Holy Beings, which is a collection of poems of Harjo's, and I found this on poets.org in a special section of poems for Earth Day. I really love her poems. I highly suggest folks check her out. She was the recent U.S. Poet Laureate. One of my other favorite poets, Ada Limón, is the current Poet Laureate. Also encourage you to check her work out. But I also have a book I wanted to share that is a young reader chapter book. I'd say it's somewhere between like a classic easy reader and a middle grade novel. It's geared for or suggested for ages 6 to 9. That seems about right. And it's the first book in the Mindy Kim series by Lila Lee with illustrations by Dung Ho. And it, not surprisingly, is about a character named Mindy Kim, who is a young Korean-American girl who at the start of the series has just moved to Florida from California. Her dad has gotten a new job, which has brought them to Florida. And she had recently lost her mother, who had been sick for a long time and then passed away. So she and her dad are dealing with that loss. And she's also in a new school. She's the new kid. So she's also dealing with that change, being in a new place, being in a new school. And so a lot of the story, oh, I didn't say what the book was called. So it's the Mindy Kim series, but the first book is called Mindy Kim and the Yummy Seaweed Business. And so in this story, she's settling into her new home. She really wants to have a pet puppy, but her dad wants her to show that she's responsible before getting her a puppy. And she also at one point ends up, she has a babysitter who has a dog, and the dog makes her so happy that at some point she decides that her dad also should have a puppy because that'll make him happy as well. And she notices that he seems sad. But the yummy seaweed business part is that she has these seaweed snacks that they buy at the Asian market, and she brings them into school. And at some point, one of her classmates asks if she can try it and tries it and is like, these are really good. And then everybody wants to try it and everybody wants these seaweed snacks. And so at first she starts trading them with her classmates as a way of getting to like interact with more people and get to meet more people and maybe make some friends and make some connections. But then at some point her new friend convinces her that she could make a business to make some money. So instead of trading, because then she trades it and she just has a zillion snacks that she can't eat them all because her stomach space is limited. But instead she gets her dad to buy her a bunch of seaweed snacks and then sells them for a dollar each. But unfortunately that's not allowed in school. So she gets in a little trouble for that. But it's a fun story, and it's, I'm curious to see, I've been interested in the series in a while and just hadn't tried it yet. So I decided to try out the first one. So I'll probably read another one and see if I want to keep going or not. But I think it would be a great story for somebody who is ready to move a little bit out of the easy readers, but isn't quite ready for a longer chapter book, because it is pretty quick and it has some nice illustrations. It's a little simpler text than some middle grade novels. But I like the main character and her various potential friends and fellow community members, like her babysitter and her dad. So yeah, that's Mindy Kim and the Yummy Seaweed Business, book one in the Mindy Kim series by Lila Lee and with illustrations by Dung Ho.
That sounds good. Do you think, like, I was just thinking for my sister, she's in kindergarten. I know it sounds a bit young. She turned 6 in March. But she's a pretty good reader. Like she can read a lot of words. Like she can read my texts. She can't do like longer words, like really long ones, like aesthetic. She can't do that, but she's a pretty good reader. Do you think that book might be appropriate for her?
It might. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head if there's many words that are maybe Korean words. I can't remember. I don't think there are too many.
Well, I could read it with her.
But yeah, I think the text is fairly straightforward. You know, it's not as simple as some easy readers, but I'd say it's closer to like Princess in Black or...
That sounds good. My sister loves those.
Yeah, Men in Charge, those kind of things.
I used to read all of those. I was obsessed with them.
Mm-hmm. It's and maybe, it maybe is a, like a step up from that even. I think it has a little bit more words and a little bit older characters, but... There's
if I can read Magic Treehouse with her, like she does words I did, do you think that'd be good for her? That mm-hmm. book then? Okay. Yeah. Cool. Thank you.
I think she'd like it.
She probably would.
That's my book for the week. I've also been reading an adult. Well, I've been reading a couple books. So I've also been reading School Trip by Jerry Craft. I had a little break in reading that recently just because I'm reading it on my computer and I wasn't on my computer much this week for reading purposes, at least. And I also just finished a book for the nonfiction book club at the library, which is fun. Well, I guess it's not just for adults, but only adults attend it. But this month we're reading a memoir called Beautiful Country by Chan Julie Wang. And so it's a memoir that was written for an adult audience, but I think this would be a good crossover book for younger readers. I'd say mostly teens, but maybe some. I don't think there's anything too risque for people that read middle grade either, but it's about the author's experience moving to the United States, to New York City as a child from China, and the experience of her family making that move and then her growing up and her parents' experience as well. They're undocumented when they're here. And so that adds a challenge to many of their struggles. But yeah, it's a very nice, beautiful book about her sort of coming of age in the U.S. I guess I could read the description for that one. So that's Beautiful Country by Chan Julie Wang. And here's the description. In Chinese, the word for America, Meiguo, translates directly to beautiful country. Yet when 7-year-old Chan arrives in New York City in 1994, full of curiosity, she's overwhelmed by crushing fear and scarcity. In China, Chan's parents were professors. In America, her family is, in quotes, illegal, and it will require all the determination and small joys they can muster to survive. In Chinatown, Chan's parents labor in sweatshops. Instead of laughing at her jokes, they fight constantly, taking out the stress of their new life on one another. Shunned by her classmates and teachers for her limited English, Chan takes refuge in the library and masters the language through books, coming to think of the Berenstain Bears as her first American friends. And where there is delight to be found, Chan relishes it. Her first bite of gloriously greasy pizza, weekly shopping days when Chan finds small treasures in the trash lining Brooklyn streets, and a magical Christmas visit to Rockefeller Center, confirmation that the New York City she saw in movies does exist after all. But then Chan's headstrong mama collapses, revealing an illness that she had kept secret for months for fear of the cost and scrutiny of a doctor's visit. As Baba retreats further inward, Chan has little to hold on to beyond his constant refrain, "Whatever happens, say that you were born here, that you've always lived here." Inhabiting her childhood perspective with exquisite lyric clarity and unforgettable charm and strength, Chan Julie Wang has penned an essential American story about a family fracturing under the weight of invisibility and a girl coming of age in the shadows who never stops seeking the light. So that's Beautiful Country by Chan Julie Wang. And yeah, it seems like I was listening to this one on audio, but throughout it, I was thinking how it seemed like a book that would be of interest to young readers as well as adults.
It's really sad.
Yeah, it has a lot of tough moments and a lot of sad moments, but it also has, it doesn't read as just like a depressing book. You know, she writes really well and she captures some of the like, both the joys and the like hardships of childhood. And in her case, she had some kinds of hardships that just about everybody has. And then she had some that were tied to her status as being undocumented, as well as being poor or being Chinese American, and then some other like just specifics of her family.
That sounds like a really good, sorry, I almost said really good country. That sounds like a really, really good. So it's called what country? Good.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Sorry, I had MCAS today. My brain is just fried.
What?
Wow. Yesterday it was a 6-hour long test.
Oh no, that sounds awful.
And we had to write 2 essays in 1 day yesterday. Whew. It was better today
as part of the test, or
as part of the test. Today though it was better, and as a reward we're all super excited, especially me, because my English teacher, she ordered water balloons, and on Friday we're gonna get to all chuck them at her, and then tomorrow we're having a pizza party, and it's a half day, so that's exciting. And tomorrow's Decades Day, which is the best day ever. I still haven't planned an outfit. I was thinking of doing 90s, but then at the same time my whole style is 90s, so I want to change it up a bit, but like every single person is doing 80s, so there's no choice but 70s because it's supposed to be 70s, 80s, 90s, and I wanted to do 70s anyways, so I'm excited.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, before we go for today, did anyone else have anything they wanted to share that they're excited about or anything?
I have spring break next week. I'm going to Alabama to see my grandparents, who I haven't seen since November, and my little cousin, who I haven't seen since July. And I am so, 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 so excited.
Nice. Hope you have a great time.
Thank you.
Have lots of great books to read while in transit.
Oh yes, I will. I'm gonna get like 4 books to read because I'm just gonna zoom through them.
Oh, how about you, Fatia?
I'm just gonna pick some books to read, or probably just gonna write books.
Sounds like an excellent way to spend your time. I don't know if there's something in particular that I'm excited for this coming week. I'm sure there's something that I'm forgetting. But I'll make a point of pointing out what I've been pointing out every week for maybe the past month, that we have the Hudson Children's Book Festival around the corner. First Saturday in Saturday, May 6th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Hudson Junior Senior High School. Make sure to save the date. Come on by. Our library, the Hudson Area Library, as well as our fellow Columbia County Libraries will all be there in the Exhibitors Hall. And then, of course, there's many, many, I don't know the exact number of authors and illustrators, but I think it's usually around 75 to 80 authors and illustrators that come and bring their books, and it's really great. Hope to see everyone there. You can go to hudsonchildrensbookfestival.com for more info. So we're going to say goodbye for today, but thank you everybody for listening. We hope you have a great week filled with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about more books. Until then,
happy reading!
Happy reading!
We'll be right back. Bye.